That confidence to be able to say, I don't know that yet, is your key to get out of that cycle. It is your key to say, I don't know that yet, but this is what I do know. So let's go from here. And be able to teach within the lane that you are confident in. And that is a great place to break down those barriers.
Welcome. Stick around if you want to learn about the art and philosophy of beautiful movement mixed with evidence-based exercise science. We'll be having tough and inspiring conversations with other coaches, experts, artists, and athletes. Our goal is to challenge myths, explore concepts, and engage in healthy debate as we dive deep with intrigue and curiosity. I'm your host, Hannah Deutscher. I've been teaching dance, Pilates, and yoga for over 2 decades. And what I've learned is that movement can be the joy that integrates us all together. When we can trust and express ourselves through our bodies, we are unlimited in our ability to change ourselves and our communities for the better. We, as movement teachers and coaches, have the power to help people experience this for themselves. Okay, everyone, let's dive in. Exchanging ideas and changing people's lives one session at a time. This is the Pilates Exchange.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another Pilates Exchange. I was just thinking about my conversation with Natalie Wilson last week, and I wanted to just sort of go a little bit deeper in some of the ideas that I brought up, because it's a concept that I'm talking with my trainers often, and I think it's going to be helpful for all of you guys as well to kind of unpack a couple of ideas about imposter syndrome. Now, we do talk about this quite a lot on a lot of different platforms that we have, and I think it's just really important because the idea of imposter syndrome is pretty big. I think we have like a blanket term that we use all the time, but it's this feeling of shame, self-doubt, feelings of like you're never good enough, maybe like any day now they're going to find out that I'm a fraud or I have no idea what I'm doing. And like, I want to just normalize some of this. Like, some level of self-doubt can be actually quite normal. And I think it's because we feel so passionately about what we do. In this case, it's teaching Pilates or teaching any movement. So we are like constantly worrying about not being good enough if we're not like measuring up or feeling like we're not competent enough. And maybe that worry should, well, there's no real shoulds or shouldn'ts, but the worry is there because we love what we do and because we want to give our clients, give our students the very best of what we have. I think that if we are struggling with it, there's different types of imposter syndrome, maybe, or the way that I'm defining it. And again, I'm not a therapist. I don't know. This is just what I see in my coaching and my mentoring. So let me just go through a couple of different ideas that I brought up last week and go into them, how maybe we can reframe them, because a lot of it is just about reframing the experiences that we're having, and that will help ease those feelings of shame, self-doubt, or feeling like we're not good enough. So see if you fit into any one of these categories. Okay, so I have the Pilates perfectionist. There's 4 of them, the way that I've broken it down, but there's a Pilates perfectionist, the Pilates expert, the Pilates genius, and the soloist. Sometimes vary between them, depending on where you're at in your career. Maybe you identify with one a little bit more than another one. So let's get into it. So Pilates perfectionist, for me, would be any slight error that you have in your teaching, like whether it's cueing or structure or you forgot to do the other side. Somehow we're really hard on ourselves and we think, oh my God, I'm a failure. I can't do this job. It's too much. So we are exacting and perfectionist, maybe in nature that way. And so those slight errors then will just make us crazy. We have maybe the Pilates expert, and that would be a person that seeks to know absolutely everything before they even begin to teach or before they take on any new challenge because they feel like the lack of knowledge means that they're a failure in some way or means that they can't even start. We have the Pilates genius. So maybe those people can meet expectation, meet their own goals relatively quickly. And let's say we'll put these Pilates geniuses in the, maybe they're able to do advanced things, advanced exercises really well quickly. But if they can't do something physically, then they are shamed. Maybe they feel like that one exercise, or maybe they can't do all of the exercises perfectly, but they feel like they should. So this is maybe an area of like the physical prowess of the person, the athleticism, the way that we put pressure on ourselves to be able to do every single thing perfect physically. Then we have the soloist. This is one that maybe we'd see more in like the business side of things. They have expectations on themselves to be able to do everything in their business. And if they can't, then they're letting themselves down. So that might be, maybe they feel pretty confident in teaching, but they don't know how to do the bookkeeping, or maybe it's social media, or maybe it's the website. And because they can't do all of those things, or maybe it's pricing. I mean, there's a lot of different areas that we need to be, you know, good at and competent at in running a business. And maybe these soloists feel like if they don't know how to do that from the get-go, or maybe it's not a competence that they feel they excel at, then they are a failure in some way, or then there are the fraud. And that's where that imposter side might come in. I think that any one of us can swing between those four different ways. It's not a bad thing. Like, I just want to keep on reiterating that this feeling of imposter is because we care about what we do. I'm not sitting over here judging the experience. You know, I think we often feel that at some point in our careers and different levels of it. There, you know, if it feels like it's kind of crippling, maybe it's time to seek outside help. And that can come in form of finding a mentor, doing a program with us, like Train the Trainers. We go pretty deep into this kind of stuff. It might be that it's leading to like anxiety and depression, almost debilitating feelings of shame and unworthiness. In that case, I would definitely say seek out the help from a mental professional. I mean, that's what they're there for, to sort of unpack those things. But in the case of, I would say, the vast majority of us, this feeling of imposter syndrome, again with quotations, we're going to cycle through a few times at various points in our careers. The thing that helps me the most is reframing. And when I'm talking about reframing, it is realizing sort of sometimes we get stuck in a thought pattern. And if we could just It's your thought pattern. Remember, thoughts are not things. Thoughts are floating ideas, and we can change what those are at any point. So if we go wide lens and look at all four of these different Pilates imposter ideas and give them a different framework, your brain a different framework to sort of deal with that, let's see if we can unpack enough of it so that you feel more comfortable. So the Pilates perfectionist, we're going back to the one that any sort of cueing error or structure error, or maybe you forgot to do the other side of something. You have this beautiful sequence and then you forgot to do an exercise and one of your clients says, hey, no, Hannah, you forgot to do this one. That might, for some of us, feel like, oh, shoot, like I messed up so bad. I forgot to do this. I have to say, I've been known to do it because I get excited and I want to go on to the next thing. So it's occasional that we forget. And the client that says, hey, Hannah, you forgot this one. It's not because they are wanting to make fun of us at all. It's because maybe they love that exercise and they were looking forward to doing it on the other side. Maybe they're just far along in their physical practice and it's something that they know it's going to be really good for them because you've taught them that it's going to be good for them. Maybe that person that says, hey, we forgot it, maybe they actually just like to see that you, the invincible Pilates teacher, are human. You know, like, so it doesn't mean that if we make a mistake, like we make mistakes all the time. And so it doesn't have to be a bad thing. We don't have to feel shame in there at all. Actually, we can normalize it by just saying, oh yeah, totally, I forgot. Thanks for reminding me. And then just go on with it. Go do that exercise or put it somewhere else. Maybe you have a mistake in your cueing, and I've done some really funny ones. Stretch your legs over your head instead of your arms. And for a lot of people, that's not going to be possible. You know, especially with Chris and I right now, we have, you know, multiple or two languages that we're teaching. And sometimes those classes are bilingual. Sometimes our cueing is right, left, down, under. Whew, we don't know what's happening on a bad day. Knowing that that is totally normal, totally okay, and we could have a lightheartedness with it, because it's not about perfect in any of those things. It's about giving generously with the information that we have. So what if we make a little mistake here and there with our wording? Like if it feels really horrible, you just say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I'll tell you actually a funny one that was so embarrassing for me. I thought I was going to die from embarrassment as far as, you know, perfectionist in cueing here. I was teaching a yoga class and I was going down the row and I don't even remember what we were working on, but there was breathing that was happening. And I was going to say, take two big, beautiful breaths. Okay. That was the word that I wanted to say. But at that time, I was standing directly in front of a taller woman, lovely, beautiful woman, but I was standing right in front of her chest. And I said, instead, take two big, beautiful breaths. Okay, I could have died from shame and embarrassment. The whole class cracked up. I said, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. It was just, you know, just a slip of the tongue. It was so humiliating in that moment, but then I went on with it. We had a good laugh about it because it was a mistake. And I said, I'm sorry, just came out. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Like the perfectionist in me would want to crawl up and never teach again. And knowing that, you know, we make mistakes, everyone laughed. Later, after the class, we all talked about different funny things that we've said and in our lives. You know, it doesn't have to be in teaching at all, but sometimes you just say things that are like, oh my God, why did I say that? And then it's just the human way of being. So as far as the perfectionist part of it, we don't need to be free of mistakes. We can't be free of mistakes. None of us are perfect. But what we can do is just say, normalize making mistakes, acknowledge that if we've made a little mistake, and go on with it. Or we could even just ignore it, depending on what it is. You could just ignore it and go on. Sometimes we just make a funny little slip of the tongue and you just go on with it, you know? So our reframe here is that our students, our clients are not sitting there looking for us to make a mistake in our cueing or in our structure, or they are looking for an experience of being in their bodies. That's why they're there with you. They are worried so much more about themselves. They're really not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. They want to work hard for themselves. They also want to please you as the teacher. And it has nothing to do with your cues, your structures. I hope that one helps a little bit. Let's go into the Pilates expert. These are, the way that I was defining it was, these are people that seek to know absolutely everything before they begin. And even in the face of like lacking a tiny bit of knowledge, they feel like they're a total failure. And I would like to ease that also in a reframe of, it is literally, and I don't use that word very often, but it is literally impossible for you to know everything. before you, even those of us that have taught a few decades, we don't know everything. You know, that's why continuing education is always important and interesting. It's because we would like to continue down that path, but you will only learn by doing. You need to get in there and be challenged. Without that challenge, you don't know where to learn. Even the best doctors, I mean, think about it. You don't want to go to a doctor that thinks that they know everything. You want to go to a doctor that says, hey, I have a hunch. Let's go get some tests done. Let me go chat with a few other doctors that are more into whatever field it is that they need to help you with. And then they collaborate and then they come back to you. And then they lead you on a path of diagnosis or a path of health, right? There, even a doctor who has, you know, a crazy amount of education cannot know everything. They can't. And if there is a doctor out there that thinks that they do, run from that doctor. Because that would be scary to me if there's a person that assumes that they know everything. So what is good, though, is if we go in and we say, this is the information I have, I'm going to teach from this. If we have opportunities, or say we have challenges, that you get to a situation and you don't know what the answer is, then a reframe is just to say, hey, I don't know that yet. Let me find out for you. I'll get back to you. It could be, you know, someone comes in with a different injury or a diagnosis that you don't know how to work with. You can feel free to say, hey, I haven't had this experience before. I don't feel comfortable yet working with you. Let me just check out and make sure that I have the right information. And that's it. That client isn't going to run away from you. That client is going to say, oh, that's amazing. They care about me. They care about my needs. And they're going to have even more respect for you because you took the time and the caring to say, I don't know yet. That maturity to be able to say, or maybe it's not maturity, that confidence to be able to say, I don't know that yet, is your key to get out of that cycle. It is your key to say, I don't know that yet, but this is what I do know. So let's go from here. And be able to teach within the lane that you are confident in. And that is a great place to break down those barriers. The thought that you need to know everything is just that. It's just a thought. There are no expectations from any of us professionals out there. There's no expectations from any of the students that are coming in for you to know absolutely everything. That's a thought that you're holding on to that delays you to start doing something. It delays you from having to get uncomfortable in the gray zone. And majority of our lives are going to be in that gray zone. And that leaning into the discomfort of that gray area of learning, of growth, that is a beautiful place to be because we're going to always be updating the information that we have. We're always going to be seeking out, hopefully, something more as we grow as teachers. You know, I'm a different teacher than when I was 20 years ago, starting out, or even longer ago. And the only standard that I can hold myself to is one that I'm continuously on a growth path. I'll update the information that I have. As soon as I know something new, then I do better with that new information. So that really helps me let go of that expert imposter feeling. We also have a concept that I would call the Pilates genius. So these are people that maybe feel like they need to do all of the advanced exercises, in the case of yoga, advanced postures. And if they can't, they feel like they shouldn't be teaching. There's even some teacher training programs that instill this sort of thinking that's baked right into their teacher training. And I would say that is absolute BS as far as the teaching organizations that are doing it. You don't need to be able to do everything. You need to be able to teach That is a way different thing. So I would rather have someone be able to teach me how to do something than having to get up and show me how to do something. I would love to be able to rely on someone's eyes and understanding of how to cue something, tell me what I'm doing wrong, than getting up and doing it. I used to have this ballet teacher in Montreal, Monsieur Cellier. He was a fantastic teacher. He was an older guy by the time I met him. I'm sure by now he's probably passed. I don't think I saw him ever out of his chair. He sat there the whole time. He literally did not move. I'm sure he could have danced, but he never showed anything. He said what he wanted, and he was able to say it clearly. And that's a skill set that I would put more value on that than being able for him to get up and do, you know, whatever it was as this little old man. You know, maybe he could have before, maybe not, I'll never know.
When I started teaching, I felt underprepared and overwhelmed. I needed to learn how to plan my training so that it made sense, but I wasn't sure what was working and what wasn't. So many teacher training programs leave out the actual art and business of teaching. This is why we created Train the Trainers. Train the Trainers is designed to give you the tools you need to create a powerful learning environment for your students. Gain access to the vault of our collected knowledge where you can learn everything we have to teach you, whether you are a freelance teacher or a studio owner. Get constructive feedback on your teaching with actionable tools you can apply immediately. We can't wait to be part of your teaching journey and to help you grow in your business. Welcome to Train the Trainers.
So jumping up onto a reformer and doing a backbend series or whatever, like, your clients, they don't really care, I think. Maybe, you know, there's the odd one or two, but it's more about you being able to understand the mechanics of that, understand the, not of doing the backbend, but just understanding the mechanics of the exercise that you're teaching, able to cue it clearly so that your person can efficiently do the movement. And then maybe we get into some more like authenticity in the way that you're cueing it. Maybe you would like to add some more layers of cues so that they can have a different level of experience while performing the exercise. But that's all going to come down to your imagination of how that movement can feel for that person. And those types of skills aren't really relying on your ability to do the thing. We could do a variation of the thing. We can do, you know, there's some exercises that I will never be able to do again because of my hip prosthesis. And that's okay. There's some exercises that I can never do. Like, I was always, you know, I go back to dance all the time with me, but I was always a crappy turner. I just had terrible pirouettes, but I could teach them very well. I can't do them, but I could teach them because I have a really good eye to see what's going on in a person's body. That's way more important in our field of teaching. Again, so the reframe here is, what's the skill set that your students are looking for? They're looking not for you to be, they're not looking for a television show. They're not looking for you to show them all the movements. They're looking for them to experience the movements in their own body. So what can we do to help facilitate the experience in your student's body? What can we do to help them understand the mechanics? And that would be great teaching. That's a wonderful way to dismantle maybe the Pilates genius part of it. I'm great at all these exercises. I could do all the, no one cares. Maybe for Instagram, a couple of fancy exercises are nice or not. The other thing is that if you're on there all the time, or you see the people that are doing only the advanced stuff, that could be so intimidating for people that they actually don't even want to start training in Pilates because it's just too scary to think, oh, now I'm going to have to do this and this. Maybe people are running away from that. Maybe your lack of ability to do some of the fancy Instagram moves, maybe that's your superpower. Maybe that's what makes you relatable. Maybe that's what makes people want to work with you because they can see themselves in you. And I think that is an awesome reframe. There's much more need for that. There's much more need for exercises that are simple, clear, fitness oriented, that are going to help people with their day-to-day lives, health, functional work, instead of fancy hanging exercises. I mean, those are fun, but that's like icing on a cake. No one really cares. They care about, can you take the pain out of my body? Can you help me sleep better? Can I pick up my kids? Can I, all of those things. That's what people care about, not the fancy stuff. So there's absolutely no need to feel shame in not being able to do a couple of exercises. If you feel like you can't do them, or you're uncomfortable teaching them, just don't teach them. Don't put them in the repertoire of exercises that you pull from. There's no problem erasing a couple of those from that repertoire. And you could just be honest with that. Say, hey, this is not part of the exercises that I feel comfortable teaching, so we're not going to do those. Here's an exercise that has the same sort of effect. We'll do that one. I'm giving you permission to do that. I am giving you permission. If that's what you needed, here it is. We also have here the soloist. Now, this is one that is not going to be for, maybe not everyone's going to relate to this one. I'm thinking this more on the business side of things. So the imposter soloist syndrome here is that we have to be able to do everything in all aspects of our Pilates businesses. And if we can't or don't know how, in some way we're a failure. In some way we, you know, throw it all in the bucket. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Now, I would like to counter that to say, again, we can't be an expert in everything. You know, as long as you are good at teaching and that's where your passion lies, then there's a million different ways for you to get help in the areas of your business that you are not yet good at. And maybe you don't want to be good in those things. Maybe it's just going to take a little bit too much time to excel in those areas. That's why you get other people to help you. There is no shame to be able to say, hey, I hate social media. Like, what are we doing over here? How do I market my business a different way? There's some people that love doing that, you know? So we're going to have to search out, a little bit is letting go of control, right? We're going to have to let go a little bit of control and ask for help somewhere else, because it's, again, it's impossible to know everything. You know, maybe it's about bookkeeping. Maybe there is some fear about the numbers or writing a business plan or, you know, understanding your KPIs, your key performance indicators. Maybe you don't really get what that means. Okay, then seek someone out that can help you in there. Life is too short to be worried about those things. And you might be, by not asking for help in those areas, you might be really limiting your financial success, your business success. That's one thing. Or you might be limiting your reach. And that's not good, because our reach, meaning not just the eyes on your brand or on your business or on your teaching, but your actual students. And you're in this to help people. Right? You are teaching because you love to give your knowledge to people and help them have greater experiences in their bodies. Maybe it's about being pain-free. Maybe it's about being confident in their bodies or enjoying where they're at. If we don't yet have the skill set to, say, market our business, then we're missing out on being able to help people. That's not something we want to do. We want to get out there. We want to explore our options. You cannot know everything about your business. I have mentors. You know, like it may seem that I have everything together, or it may not seem, I don't know. But all of us have mentors. You know, I've been teaching for a long time and I have business mentors. I have people that I regularly ask for help in different areas, help with different clients sometimes. You know, if I come up in a situation that I don't yet know how to handle, I have to learn about doing that. It's help learning automation. Like, there's so many different things. You know, we got a big business over here. Well, maybe not so big, but a business that has a lot of different moving parts. We have a physical studio that comes with its own skill set. We have an online studio. You know, we have an online membership. We have our courses, our teacher trainings, all of those types of things, retreats, you know, and each one of those has a lot of learning that needs to happen. So I cannot expect myself to know everything all the time. No, I got to know where to ask questions. Who's going to be my mentor in this area? And then I go and I ask and I receive help. Because if I were to do this all alone, not only is that lonely, but the expectations that I'm putting on myself would just be paralyzing. I assure you that any of those big names out there, you know, I don't include my name as one of those big names, but I'm talking about like all of those big famous people that are in the Pilates and the yoga world or fitness world. They've got a team of people that are helping them. They've got assistants. They've done different coaching programs, mentoring programs and stuff, because that's what we do to get better at our jobs. You don't have to know how to do all of it. And not all of it has to be comfortable, and you don't have to like doing it, all of it either. You know, you give up the work that you don't like to do or you don't feel that you excel at, and you do the stuff that you know you're great at. And I think that helps reframing in the imposter syndrome. So I want to, you know, just round this out. Maybe imposter syndrome, whatever one you are, or specifically Pilates imposter syndrome, whatever one that is, like maybe it's, you know, any one of those four character types. Maybe it's just feeling a little bit of lack of self-confidence or sensitivity to the small mistakes, fear of failing your team, or maybe it's all of them are combined together and you're just feeling like you're burned out from working too hard on all of these. I mean, the thing is that you're not alone. These are feelings that sometimes we cycle through. It's not just when you're new to teaching. It's also some of us that have been around for a longer time. It's again, because you love your job and you want to do good at your job, but the reframe is what's important. Sometimes we have to reframe by finding a mentor, you know, finding someone that can help you and your personal situation, highlight what your superpowers are. I was recently speaking with a lovely woman about how she felt like, specifically because her teacher training program was being really bullying. I find it bullying. And I just wanted to remind her, and I did remind her that she is already a fantastic teacher because she has children. She knows how to nurture. She knows how to teach. She loves teaching her kids. And because of that, that is her superpower. She doesn't need to be bullied by a teacher training program that she's not yet a teacher. She is the teacher already. So sometimes it is finding the mentor to be able to help you celebrate the wins, or not even celebrating, finding what those superpowers are for you. Maybe we need to celebrate the wins that you have already accomplished. You know, maybe it's the, you know, if you have one client, let's celebrate that. If you have 10 students, awesome. Let's celebrate that. You taught your first class, then let's celebrate that. Celebrating the little things along the way of your Pilates path as a teacher, that's important. That's really important for us to understand the growth that we're making, because it's a long line of growth. There's never going to be an aha, I've made it. Aha, I feel like a wonderful teacher. We're all in the continuum of there. So stopping for a moment to realize what you've already accomplished helps us refocus on also where we want to go. Sometimes we're going to have to share that we're feeling a little bit, say, unsure or unsteady. And sharing it with someone helps articulate what that fear is. What is that feeling? Maybe it's not a fear. Maybe it's a feeling. Maybe it's, who knows, maybe it's the feeling of shame. Maybe it's, and who knows what that is. But by you having to articulate it to someone else, a trusted person, mind you, a trusted person, helps you reframe it, because once it's coming out of your mouth, maybe you see a different perspective of what you're saying. Maybe that trusted or mentor can help you reframe it in a way that eases some of those feelings. And I think that by acknowledging those feelings helps you release it. It helps you let go of that. Because just like thoughts, thoughts are not things. Thoughts are the way that you are conjuring a situation. So you can always change your thoughts. Feelings will come and go. Once we release those feelings, they have the tendency to fade. Something else will come in. Feelings don't generally last that long. Maybe, you know, if you're really, really mindful of those feelings, maybe it'll last a couple of minutes before you're on to something else. And maybe you cycle back to a feeling, but in general, feelings have a short cycle of time. So acknowledging, releasing those feelings, and they'll come and go, and that it's a wave. It's not going to be like you're stuck there the whole time. Sometimes we're going to have to fight those feelings with evidence. Okay, so if you're saying, oh, I'm not good enough, I, you know, whatever. Well, what is the evidence that you are not good enough? Show me. Because in there, you'd probably be hard-pressed to find evidence that you're not good enough. More than likely, that evidence would be a story that you are making about someone else's experience. So for example, I'm not a good teacher. When I'm teaching, everyone is looking at me and their faces are scowling, and that means I'm not good. Well, that's not evidence. That is maybe a story about what they could be feeling, what your students could be feeling. It could be so far from the truth, because you do not know for sure what anyone else is feeling unless they tell you that. So maybe you're teaching the class and you're feeling off because, you know, you're getting some sort of facial feedback from someone. And really what it is that they are concentrating on what you're saying. Maybe they're concentrating on their body. Maybe they had a crappy day and then they came to class and you're helping them feel better. Some of the evidence that, you know, from the mentoring that I'm doing with people when we're going deep into the imposter syndrome is the evidence that they're bringing. It's based on a story that we're telling about someone else's experience. And it is not what the reality is, because we, like I said before, we don't know what their reality is unless we ask them. Again, I think it's focusing on the facts that are actually on hand and reframing. Sometimes we just need to acknowledge that we're feeling a little uncomfortable on that day, get validated, and just let it go. Just naming it, hey, I'm feeling a little of this, helps you get control of those feelings, validate the feeling. Is it something that you really need to work on? Or is it just a little bit of self-doubt? The feelings are real, but they're, a lot of it's just in our own head. And then that means we got to move on with it, move on with your day. So I'm going to wrap up this imposter syndrome Pilates podcast with, you are not alone. A lot of us go through it. We cycle through it in different ways. It is normal to have a little bit of nerves and excitement and, yeah, caring that we want. You could give yourself permission to have a growth mindset. If you haven't listened to my podcast about that, or maybe check, I will put that in the show notes, because that is a great way to also reframe and find a different perspective in there. You're doing great. Reach out to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and have a wonderful day.
thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. A great cost-free way of supporting us and the podcast would be to give us a 5-star rating. You can also look down into the show notes and grab any one of the free resources for teachers. I hope to see you next week on the Pilates Exchange. Happy teaching, everyone!